This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
It's a Nick show yet again, BT, with Game 3 tomorrow. Do you think that the results of the first two games are more of a testament to how good the Knicks have played, or more about the Celtics being off?
I think it's how well the Knicks have played. And this is very easy for me to tell you why. Because everything about the NBA, right? The first three quarters don't matter. It's really about the final five, six, 7 minutes of the game. Well, we can't be selective in how we apply that. And I pretty much subscribe to that as well. The three-point shots, the runs, the lack. Now, there's more defense in the postseason, obviously. There's more attention to detail. There's more advanced scouting, obviously. But the NBA is built on, for the most part, the first three quarters, whatever, and now it's money time, and your best players are on the court, and you know what I'm trying to do, and I'm trying to stop you, even though I know what you're going to do, because I've seen it a million times on film, you go to your best player, I can either stop you or I can't. So to me, the Knicks' ability to buckle down and execute both offensively and defensively in the final 8 minutes, that leads me to my answer.
Yeah,
it's more about the Knicks doing the good stuff.
And I hate to say this because it feels like it's when you say
you don't
it,
feel that.
No, I don't. I think it's more about the Celtics.
Okay, why?
Yeah, I'm not taking away credit from the Knicks. And if I say this, it sounds like I'm ripping the Knicks, and people are going to misinterpret that. I really don't care. It's how I feel, and I believe it to be factual based on my observation watching the game. The Celtics are just missing way too many shots. Jason Tatum is too good a player to perform the way that he has in the first two games. Is he hurt? I don't know. He's obviously got the bandage wrapped up. He's throwing up bricks from downtown, like almost breaking the glass, bad shot.
He's missing by a mile.
Three. So the Celtics have been god-awful from downtown. Jason Tatum specifically, who coming in, I would have no hesitation. Like, we could pick apart Cade Cunningham and say, well, Cunningham is the best player or Brunson's the best player. There is no doubt who is the best player coming into this series.
I don't want to. I think there's a little doubt.
I think
you make it seem like it's not close with Jalen Brunson. You can't just make that statement and just go to point B.
From Tatum?
It's not close.
Tatum?
You're telling me it's not Brunson's not close to Jason Tatum?
Oh, no, he's not.
Yes, he is.
No,
are you nuts?
No.
Stop.
Well, wait a second. Didn't you say Cade Cunningham was better than Jalen Brunson?
I said he's the most. But he's not there yet.
Okay, but Tatum is. I mean, what does Jason Tatum need to do to show you? Again, this is not a knock on Jalen Brunson. And I've said this many times, years on the record here. Years. Not just this year, not last year, for years. There is no player I would rather have in the NBA on my team than Jalen Brunson. So put that to bed. It's not about Brunson 8. Dude, Jason Tatum is another level of dominant player. He's also a proven champion. Like, I would even say that the second best player you could argue at his best is Jaylen Brown. I've said this in the regular season. Now, Brunson obviously continued to build to his resume, what he did in the first round, all that stuff. But I think the Celtics clearly have the best player in the series with Jason Tatum.
It's a swerve off the road. There's no way I can just, like, again, debating Tatum and Brunson is fine. But you made it seem like there's no contest. Like,
I don't
there's
think
nobody
there is
that can shine Jason Tatum's shoes. I disagree. Jalen Brunson can. What are you kidding me?
No, I think Tatum is the best player in the series by far.
Do you think Anthony Edwards, top to bottom, is better than Tatum?
No, I'd rather have Tatum. Now, I love Anthony Edwards. Just a different type of dog, different type of player.
He's different.
But Tatum is the much more accomplished player.
Do you think Jokic is better than Tatum?
I do, yeah.
Do you think somebody like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is better than him?
I mean, he's on his way
there. My point is that Tatum's not clearly the number one player in the NBA.
No, in this series, he is.
I disagree.
Well, he hasn't played like that. Coming into the series, that was the whole point. Coming into the series, I do think he's by... How are you determining best player?
Do you want to go clutch value? If that's one metric, I mean, it might be one of 10, but the clutch value is in favor of Jalen Brunson. He just won the award.
Jason Tatum's won the NBA championship.
Well, that's because Giannis got hurt.
Oh,
he had some good. He's a champion,
look,
dude.
Look
and Tatum's really.
Done.
I'm not trying.
Go over his accomplishments. I mean, I'm not watching him every day, but even I know.
You don't have to know, I'm not watching him every night either. Listen, Tatum's a beast. All I'm saying is I'm sticking up for our beast.
Right.
I'm just making it a little. I might, at the end of the day, I might be willing to say, I probably would be willing to say, all right, Tatum's a tick ahead of Brunson.
Yeah.
My pushback was, you make it seem like there's nothing to have a conversation about.
I don't think Jalen Brunson is anywhere near as accomplished as Tatum.
But I'm not using the word accomplished.
Well, okay,
you didn't use the word accomplished because that's different.
However you want to say it, best player, whatever. But winning an NBA championship is part of it. I mean, we want to build statues for Jalen Brunson because he's won a couple of first-round series here. I mean, has Jalen Brunson got into the Eastern Conference Final? Was I sleeping when that happened? It hasn't happened yet. Patrick Ewing, a guy we vilified here because he didn't do what? He didn't win a championship. So Ewing was vilified here. Oh, he never won the big one. He had squat to work with, all due respect to Starks and Oak, who I love with every fiber of my fan being. Ewing had squat to work with, but he was diminished. He didn't win a championship. He got beat up by Hakeem. But yet Jalen Brunson, it's a couple of game winners against the Sixers or the Pistons in the first round. and he's a freaking legend. There's some kind of like in between there, but Tatum to me
is also an in between the Tatum and the Brunson stuff, which is what I'm saying.
But coming into the series, I at least would think that Tatum.
Fair enough. I'm not trying to change your mind.
I get it.
But
I
let me get us back on the rails here, because the thing was the question that you asked me to start this, and it's a great question. Is this more the Knicks executing or the Celtics basically tripping all over themselves?
Right.
That's a good way to frame it. If you guys are tuning in, right? Well, I don't know if Tatum's hurt. I think that he's a little banged up, right? But
he better hope he is, because otherwise, what's the excuse?
I know. But if you go back to the Magic series, now if I saw games where he's 16 points and 35 points, 37 points, 36 points in the last three games, right? He had 35, 37, and 36 points. He was 11 for 11, 14 for 14, and 12 for 12 from the stripe. He shot 37% from the field. And he, one game, he had 10 assists and 8 rebounds. So he either got hurt right away, on the layup line against the Knicks, or the Knicks are just doing a better job, which is why I think, I give the Knicks more credit for doing than the Celtics choking.
I do think that you'd be a fool not to give the Knicks some credit for how they're playing defensively on Jason Tatum, specifically OG Anunoby. And you want to talk about the closeout where they had Bridges come over and help, or even Mitchell Robinson on the perimeter. But OG that's why he's here. That's why Bridges is here, to be those defenders and shut down those guys, Tatum and Brown. But I've also seen a ton of open threes, not just Tatum, from the Celtics in general. They've had a ton of open shots, and they're just not knocking them down. So I still, now we'll find out. There is no right or wrong answer here. Are the Knicks defensively shutting down the Celtics? My counter to that would be, well, then why are they getting down 20 points in each of these games?
And my counter is the stagnant offense, which kind of changes as the game goes on.
Right.
We kind of hit this early in the first hour. Like, I said to Sal, all right, we always talk about, the adjustments game to game, hell, half to half. But at this level, really, truly game to game. And there were definitely a couple of changes that Tom Thibodeau did within the game. One was when he backed off Tatum. I talked about that. When he had the dunk and he, 18.9. And then the next possession, he basically backed off and it was totally different different play there. I think one change that I would be very interested in seeing here, Sal, is I'm going to run some plays early for Mikal Bridges. I don't know. I know they can't keep winning this way, clearly.
Huh?
And these late game heroics, there's an expiration point on that. And because
now, they've won six games so far in the postseason, three of them have been coming back from huge deficits.
That's true. That's true. And that does kind of push back on my thought that you can't really win a championship or keep moving on this
way.
I'm with
you. I don't think it's sustainable either, but
But the deeper you get, like the Pistons had no experience. Yep. I think, I don't know, I want to say that they choked, but they also didn't have a lot of scores outside of Cade. If Beasley wasn't in shots and Cade wasn't, they had nobody. They just had a bunch of tough guys, right? Where the Celtics are champions, they've got shooters, they're skilled, they're usually highly efficient. So I think one way to counteract this slow start is to just go in a different direction. Now, Bridges needs to be up for it. And if he is, I think that opens up the Knicks' offense.
BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Gus is in Mamaroneck. What's up, Gus?
Hey, Sal, BT, how you doing?
Good.
Sal, my condolences to your family.
Thank you, Gus. We appreciate that.
I've been a Knicks fan since 1966, and I'm 68 years old. And I've seen the Knicks win. Yesterday was the anniversary of their first championship.
Yep.
When Willis Reed came on the floor. And I brought back good memories because I was at Shea Stadium. And they flashed it on the board that the Knicks won 113-99. And that will always stick to my head. But when I saw the back line, you know, the when they ran it back.
With Willis?
Quietly Frazier's show. Was all Frazier's show. Willis Reed hit the first two baskets,
yep.
Boom. But my point to this call is that the Knicks, every game is an important game. You cannot take your foot off the gas pedal because once you open up that window for the opposing team, it could be disastrous. That's my point, gentlemen. Have a great day.
Thank you, Gus.
You too, buddy.
Yeah, the series right now, the way the series feels, will feel the feeling you have right now will feel totally different. It changes completely, even with just one loss tomorrow. The Knicks would still have the lead. They'd still have home court advantage. And obviously, you don't feel like the series is over. You still feel pretty good about the Knicks. But the entire feel can change because I don't care how positive you are from a Knicks perspective. If the Celtics get off the mat and win tomorrow's game three, you're at least a little, because the Knicks are supposed to, I know they're not favorites, but at home, you're supposed to win these games. And if you want to win this series, you got to put them away. 2-1 is far different from 2-0 or 3-0.
Usually I say I've got to see how it looks because that usually matters. I would agree with you. I don't think it matters how it looks here. Like if you don't win at the Garden tomorrow, the recipe, listen, we're just talking about falling behind by 20 points. I can promise you that the recipe to win a championship, which is what this is all about, can we win it? We all know. I'm not going to need to yell. We all know we need it. We all know we desperately crave it. But I guarantee you one way not to win a championship is to not win at home and fall down by 20 points every time you play on the road.
Bingo.
That I can promise you.
Not too much to ask. I mean, good teams usually don't have that happen. Now you could counter and say, well, the champ, the reigning champ, has just blown two 20-point leads at home in consecutive games. So that's not a recipe for success either. But I'm with you, BT. It's not encouraging the way the Knicks started the postseason with that game one against Detroit.
No, and by the way, I'm going to finish up. I was going to say,
not encouraging to play the way that they have at home as well.
Yes, it's very nice. That's actually discouraging.
Yeah, right.
Like, you know, I understand that. You know, you go back to Pat Riley and obviously Ewing. Like, the Knicks never lost early game. I'm sure I'm forgetting one, but I think they swept everybody in the first round. Like, when they lost at home, it was either to Jordan or Reggie going bonkers for the most part. Like, when we got to round one, it was just, all right, Knicks sweep, let's go.
It was a bye.
It was a bye. It was a given. It was a lock. It was a wrap. Here we go. Now, but what's different between that team and this team? Like, this team has similar expectations. At least they should. Now, they haven't been together as long. Brunson's been here a couple of years. Patrick was the backbone of the Knicks since he was drafted in 85, even though they weren't good the first couple of years. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like the Knicks' lack of home court prowess is largely being pushed away. Like, it matters, man. They got to start winning at the Garden.
It's one of the reasons why I was saying not to overreact from game one and even more so game two. Now, look, you're up 2-0. There isn't really an overreaction. You're up 2-0. You have a stranglehold on the series. That's just the reality of the situation. But there has to be some hesitation because it's not like the Knicks are dominant at home, nor have they been dominant in either of their two wins in this first round against Boston, nor have they really been dominant. They weren't dominant against Detroit when they had the chance to. Every one of those games is coming down to even the game that they were blowing them out in game four, that came down to the wire. Game five, a chance to put them away and show some dominance. They haven't done it. It's part why you didn't like them in the regular season. They didn't show that dominance. sometimes you want to see some dominance from a team that you think could be a champion. And we have not seen that. We've seen great heroics. We've seen great resilience. We've seen heart, toughness, tenacity. But we haven't seen the dominance that you look for in a potential champion.
And we haven't seen how this group handles prosperity. We've seen how they react to negative stuff, things going against them, and they've proven very resilient. Now, Mike, at this, hopefully this bodes well. I don't think there's anybody on this team that is satisfied. You saw the way they walked off the court. Now they were celebrating. Yep. I mean, like, when they did you see the video when they actually went through the tunnel? Not on the court.
I didn't see
through the tunnel where they were. Somebody said, we've done nothing here. Well, somebody said, we've done nothing. We've accomplished nothing.
I did hear that.
Something
quote,
like that, right? I think they're focused, and I think that they're moxie, and I think at this point their togetherness is at an all-time, as a group, high. So that bodes well. But I don't know how they handle prospect because they haven't really been in a position to do that
yet. Well, the only time that they have been, think about this, last series, winning games 3 and games 4 on the road, 2 games in a row on the road, take a 3-1 series lead, 2 games lead in the series, back home to the Garden, they lost that game. So they're in the same spot just a little bit earlier in the series against a better team. That, to me, that's why I was so negative after that Game 5, saying it doesn't even matter if they win Game 6 or Game 7, just because they didn't show me that they could be that team that can cement a win when they had to and put away a lesser team when they had to. Now, their Game 6 performance was tremendous. They have since won, obviously, the first 2 games against Boston, but they have been in this spot before, to your point about prosperity, up 2 games in a series returning home, and they failed. They cannot fail this time because Detroit, or Boston is not Detroit. Boston will take advantage if the Knicks let them back in the series.
You think they have the pieces to win it all? I know that's pushing things forward. You think this team could actually do it?
I think they have the talent, yes. I don't know if it's all going to come together in year one the way that that it might need to win a championship.
Okay.
But if they knock off the reigning champ and the Cavs are out of the way, which is all still possible, it's not definite, it's possible, mm-hmm. how can you not like mm-hmm. their chances a lot more? Steven is in Harlem.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, Steven?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Steve.
Super hard to get in during the finals, man. It feels like the World Series all over again. But if you guys give me a second, I called in a few weeks ago complaining about Jazz not making the play. And VTU told me to write a book. It really wasn't an issue with Jazz not making the play. It was more the response of, hey, I don't want to die out there. You know, with our athletes, when you don't make a play, that's fine. But we really just want to see you adjust and do anything it takes to make it and not come up with excuses. That was what that was all about.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of tying that into this, what I really love about this Knicks team is throughout the games, they have the talent around the court to really make adjustments. And I was telling you early in the week, VT, this team has so many stars on the court, they can just shift their focal point based on where the defense is focusing, and they have enough players that are truly, give me the ball and I'll score. Even Josh Hart, give me the ball and I'll score when I have the mismatch. where it seems like everyone wanted to talk about the Celtics' depth, but at the end of the day, five players can be on the court at a time and one has the ball. And right now, when one has the ball for them, they don't know what to do because it's such a let's create an open three-look system that it's really playing against them. And you keep asking, why did Boston keep taking these 20-point leads and the Knicks are actually, you know, better than the Celtics? And the answer is they're throwing the freaking ball away. You know what I mean? I can't believe how many times they threw the ball away.
That's true.
If you just improve that,
yeah,
cut those leads. Like,
well, that's three. Yeah. Well, Steve, think about that. But thanks for the call. That's 3, 4, 5 possessions, depending upon what the other team does. That could be 15 points if it's 5 possessions. That's a good observation. We didn't include that. And even Brunson's got to tighten that up. Like, he's been a little sloppy.
They're too sloppy
with the passing here. The one thing that I'm starting to see now, I prefer them to actually win pretty once in a while. Hmm. But I feel like the Knicks can win pretty, you know, when they're clicking, and they've proven they can win ugly. I don't know that the Celtics can win ugly.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to knock the champ for not winning
ugly. No, I'm just saying, though. Think about that. Like, the Knicks have won. Knicks put up a lot of points. They were a fairly efficient offensive team this year. I mean, Cat put up a lot. Brunson was the most clutch. You know, and we know what the Wings did, shooting the ball. Like, the Knicks could score, so the Knicks can win pretty. And we know that they can get down in the mud and sling it around and win ugly because they've already done it, you know, four times on the road in a row. I know the Celtics can win pretty, and I'm not saying that they can't win ugly, but they haven't yet proven that they can.
And the Celtics are compromised. Forget about whether Tatum's hurt or not, or even Jaylen Brown, because they're playing, you know, full minutes here. Look, you're out there, you're playing full minutes, you're healthy as far as I'm concerned. But Porzingis is not.
Yes.
So that's one part. You talk about Hauser. I think the Celtics are the better team, like, to answer the caller's point about the talent or the scores, but I think he's right. Like, the Celtics pieces fit better to me, and their philosophy clearly works to the point of where they won a championship, whether we like the threes or not. I don't, but it works in today's NBA. And they have the proper pieces to do what they want to do as a team. However, the Knicks have four guys to me that can be top scorers on any given night. The Celtics don't have that. Even if you factor in Porzingis, it's still three to me.
Still three?
Yeah, Tatum, Brown, and
Porzingis. Drew Holiday can get you 20-something.
Yeah, but he's not, to me, that. Now, he's also compromised right now.
A little bit. He looked pretty good the other night,
though. But he's also,
Hammy.
He's also not, like, he's not Bridges-level potential. You want to, is OG? Okay, is he on OG's level? When OG's on, he could be a top performer. But the other three, Brunson, Cat, Bridges, those three, to me, are more than what the Celtics have as far as the depth of just any guy going off. Brown, yes. Tatum, yes. You know, Porzingis when he's fully healthy, but right now, no. So I would think the Knicks have 4 to kind of 2.5 right now.
I don't agree. I don't agree only because I feel like Drew Holiday is just much more consistent.
Hmm.
Like, OG goes for 29, then he's quiet. You know, Bridges disappears for three quarters, then he steals the game, and he's a hero. Like, Drew Holiday, I think Drew's influence from the opening tip to the final buzzer is more, for me, more obvious.
Scoring, though?
Yeah, a little bit of everything. Just more influence on the game.
He scored 11 points a game this year.
I know.
I'm not saying he's not a good player. That's why I say I think the Celtics have the better team, and their pieces fit. That would be my one issue with the Knicks. Like, we went over all the issues. Their backup center is a liability offensively. Their starting center is a liability defensively. Their point guard is not good defensively, and he's too small. They don't have a true shooting guard. Their two guard, Josh Hart, can't shoot.
Don't have a true backup point.
Yeah,
got a more like a hybrid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they have two guys who are redundant in Bridges and Ananobi, the same type player. Both good players, and we value what they do, but it's kind of the same type player. So the way the Knicks team is built or constructed, I don't necessarily love it, but maybe it works. Maybe the talent wins out. Maybe being top-heavy and having those four guys that could score at any moment and take over the game, along with Josh Hart as the kind of, you know, facilitator of it and the heartbeat of the team, and maybe that will win out here, especially in this series, but maybe it will win out overall. I don't know. I do think the Celtics are better built, but I love the Knicks' talent. Couple of big things this weekend. First and foremost, priority over everybody. It's the Knicks. Game 3 tomorrow afternoon at the world's most famous arena. We're all looking forward to that. The other thing, Sunday is Mother's Day.
Yep.
And I probably have asked you this before. We might have had this discussion as recently as a year ago. I don't recall, but I'm going to bring it up again today. Is Mother's Day for your mother or for the mother of your children?
Okay. And by the way, we did have this conversation a year ago. My answer is the same, but it's a very pertinent question. And I feel it's one that you struggle with.
Yeah, yeah. Still.
So, yeah, I got you. All right, so it's for both. It's for both. Mm. You got to walk that fine line of, you know, if you're lucky enough to still have your mom with you, obviously, to, you know, to let her know what she means to you. Like, you know, the dynamic in my home was mom was the soft one.
Right.
Who I could go to about anything. And when things went off the rails, usually my fault, almost, she would shield me from dad.
Right.
Like, that's the way it was in the 80s, all right? The Italian, the warrior, dad, the Irish, the big Irish cop. Like, that's, so my mom and I have always been incredibly close, like you and your mom.
Yeah, I was a mama's boy, I admit it.
Yeah, I don't know if I was a mama's boy. Certain aspects I was.
I definitely
certain
was more so than you,
yeah. Certain aspects I was. I would not even try to hide from that. Certain aspects I was. Now, to get it up to speed today, I think there's a responsibility as the husband for the kids to see you making a big deal for your wife.
Because Mother's Day, mom.
Yes. Yes.
You know, but now it's like the double phone. No, what do you mean? No, it's two things. Like, I guess maybe when my daughter gets old enough to, you know, get mom something on her own or have a special day on her own.
That
then
doesn't happen
different.
For a while, dude. I mean, she could have an Amazon account when she's seven.
I don't know.
You gotta buy some stuff, dude.
I understand that. So now I got,
Do you have, okay, so it's Friday.
I haven't gotten a card yet.
So it's Friday, the Knicks are tomorrow, so that's going to be a problem.
I screwed up. I have the anniversary cards and Valentine's Day cards. Those are in my drawer.
Yeah, you bought them
I
early.
Don't have the Mother's Day cards.
So what are you going to do?
I mean, I got to go get some cards.
Okay, are you going to get a gift? I mean, come on, you can't come up empty-handed,
dude. I mean, come on, I'm trying to go to the next game four. I got to come up with a Mother's Day gift for my mom and my wife now?
Well, you got to pick one.
Well, that's why I'm asking you.
I know.
And not only really that, it's not just about the gift, which is just ridiculous. Like, yeah, you're right. It should be a day to take and appreciate your mother and your wife and all that stuff. But also, like, that should be done daily. Every day.
Yeah, but do you?
I mean, yeah, I think I'm a nice person. Hi, mom. My mom. Love you, mom. All right, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, the same thing, listening to my wife and all that entails. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I feel like I'm a good husband all year. I'm not, like, every day perfect. No. But do I need to take a day out and be like, oh, today is your day? You know what I mean? Like, I don't
Yeah, you kind of do.
So here's the thing.
Well, then don't expect anything on Father's Day yet.
I'm fine with that. I'll trade. I would gladly make that trade. Here's the trade now.
I love Father's Day.
You leave me alone on Mother's Day, and I'll leave you alone on Father's Day. Like, no gifts, no nothing, no special. I don't want to be bothered with it.
Well, then why even have an anniversary if you want to be
That's
left alone?
That's coming up, too. I don't want that either. Dude. I mean, what are we going to do? Anniversary gifts? For what? We got married. It was great. Here we are 10 years later, 9 years, maybe the 10th anniversary, do something special.
All right. So our situation is a little different. I have two. You have one. Your daughter's younger. Yeah. Mine are still young, but older than yours. Everybody that listens to the show knows that. So, but the big difference is that my wife is a sports mom.
Right.
So Sunday, we've got baseball all day. We have one league,
okay.
7 o'clock first pitch. And then in the morning, all day tournament.
So it doesn't.
And she loves it.
Okay.
And we have pink uniforms for the boys. Like,
well, who else loves it?
Well, me.
Daddy loves that.
Well, I understand.
See,
of course I love it.
So you happen to get lucky because that's a perfect world.
Well, I didn't get lucky. I married somebody who loves sports.
But you're not being inconvenienced because you're doing exactly what you want to be doing. And you're spending it with your wife because she loves it. I'm sure that's the number one.
I'll be third base stand. She'll be in the stands.
And now my question is, so what about your mother?
Well, my mother will be out east at my sister's home. Okay.
So you are choosing wife over mom.
Well, yeah.
Well, really, you're choosing.
I do.
You're choosing baseball over both.
You're an idiot. Listen, it's a tough one. My mom knows the schedule. Like, my mom just.
Yeah, all right.
She knows, you know. Yeah, I mean, when I was younger, when I was single, and my sister, my dad, my mom, I mean, in my 20s even, like, we'd go to a nice restaurant in Manhattan, Mother's Day. It was all about my mom. But what I try to do, because there's games all weekend, I've already gone shopping. So I did it via Amazon, stuff I know I'm not saying I spent thousands of dollars, but there's going to be a couple of things for mommy to open, some of which will be from the kids, some of which will be from daddy.
Right.
And there'll be a nice little presentation on the kitchen island when she wakes up. So she'll feel special there, and that's what we do.
The worst part to me, not the only, but the worst part about moving to Jersey is days like this. Because now, to accommodate everybody, I'm going to have to go back and forth. And I like that's the last thing
that
I want to do.
Sucks.
On the weekend is drive out to Long Island because my mom, more than anything, would want me to go there and have breakfast or lunch or something all day.
God.
So I'm
why don't you just take everybody out at once and just kill two birds with one stone?
You would think that that would be the easy thing.
It's not.
No, because not all parties want to do that.
I got you. Oh, dude. The way you just said that. I feel you. But, that's a tough one, dude. Good luck, buddy.
And even in that scenario, I still have to drive to Long Island and back.
No matter what.
Which I don't want to do.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
See, that would be so simple. And I'm not telling you what to do here, but it would be so simple if, like, you could go pick up your mom tomorrow morning, right?
Yeah.
Tomorrow morning.
But I still got to pick her up and bring her back.
Hear me out. Bring her Saturday morning, right? Get some bagels, get some coffee, just you and mom, so you get to spend some money, because I know you're very close, and your mom's awesome. Yeah, I like your mom better than I like you sometimes, I say. You guys drive home together, right? And then, you know, you disappear, you watch the Knicks, you know, mommy and wifey go shopping, do whatever they want to do, spends the night. And then you wake up, I don't know, maybe you get up and you make them breakfast or something.
I know, but
and then you take them to eat and you did it, everybody's happy.
And then I got to take my mom home and then come back. Now you created two trips for me to Long Island.
Well, how about
and back.
You let her sleep over again and your wife takes her home on Monday?
Yeah, happy Mother's Day on eating. BT, it's enough with these holidays. Love your mother, love your wife every day. Good God. BT and Sal on the fam. Imagine, I remember Mother's Day I went to, and my mom's still probably, I was living in the city.
Yeah.
Dating.
Yeah.
And, like, it was Mother's Day, but I was going, I went to the Marty St. Louis game. He had a big game for the Rangers, Rangers-Penguins. That's a Mother's Day I remember. My mom's still like, oh, you didn't come home to see your mother.
Oh, is that true? Yeah, I got the guilt trip on something once when I was a kid.
I'm in the city. I'm dating. Yeah, I got the guilt trip once. Like, I'm not coming home.
No, the Italian moms, they protect us to their last breath, but they can lay the guilt down when they have to.
Happy Mother's Day. Here's a card. Here's a gift. Let me do what I got to do. All right. BD and Sal on the fan. Felix is in Highland Park. What's up, Felix?
Hey, guys. First time, long time. So I have a couple of bones to pick. One, you said that it's conventional wisdom that the first three quarters don't matter in an NBA game. Do you know what percentage of games are won by a team leading at the end of three quarters? And what percentage is won if the team leads by at least 5 points?
I don't.
It's 82% if you're leading at the end of three, and 93% if you're leading by 5 points. So this is where, like, you know, Billy Bean and Moneyball became popular because conventional wisdom is often wrong. And that goes to the second point.
Okay, but you know, I don't even want to, you know, bore it up too much with these numbers, even though I like numbers. But if you were to do a deeper dive, I'm pretty sure that 80-something percentile, when you take away some of the worst teams in the NBA and you take teams that are more on even footing, similar records, similar seed, I could spin it my way as well, I'm sure, Felix. But
and by the way, Felix, do the math of the Knicks and their postseason
exactly.
run. Three of their six wins have been against what you have just said.
Right. But if that's okay, and then in a postseason series, you know, out of seven games, that will happen. In an 82-game season, it's certainly the things will even out. Which goes to the second point, whether the Knicks won because they played well or the Celtics have played poorly. It's clearly the Celtics have played poorly. They're undershooting way lower percentages than they did in the regular season. They were leading by 20 in both games. Again, odds of that happening are, what was it, 99% that the Knicks were going to lose both games in the mid-fourth quarter?
That was a number.
It's going to repeat itself. If this happens again in game 3, 4, 5, 6, Knicks are going to lose.
No, I mean, you can't play this way. You can't play this way, Felix. But now, and I know Evan has talked a lot about this. I think he's actually watched some of the videos. I'd love to know what he came up with. But now you got to look at amount of contested shots versus non-contested. Like, yeah, I know the Celts are missing shots, but how many is because the Knicks are running guys at them and doing better things defensively that other teams can't do?
He said he was looking at it and breaking it down.
He was, but it's hard because it's up to interpretation. It's almost like a check swing in baseball.
In my mind's eye, in real time, there were more than enough open shots or open looks that could have changed the game for the Celtics, whether it's White, whether it's Pritchard, certainly Tatum or Brown. If they hit any one of those threes that were at the very least a decent look down the stretch, could have changed the entire outcome of the game. They kept missing, Knicks kept hitting, and there you have it. I used to be so into the NBA that, like, I remember on the NBA draft nights, I was locked into that.
Did you ever go to the NBA draft?
No.
I went to a bunch. I went, a couple years
there. Were they at the Garden?
Yeah, the ones that I went to were.
At the Garden?
The ones that I went to there. Like, one year when they drafted Mike Sweeney, I was there. Mike from Georgetown. Yeah, oh, God, it was brutal.
Michael Sweeney.
It was brutal. But you were, like, if Space Jam is on now, do you stay with it or no?
I mean, I did watch the new one years ago with LeBron.
Ugh.
No, I haven't seen Space Jam in a long time. I probably would watch it now.
It was good.
For nostalgic purpose. Like, if you watch it with the kids, I'll watch it one day
with
Sammy.
I watched Space Jam 2 with the kids, and both with the kids, yeah.
Okay,
I
so, did. Yeah, maybe Space Jam. That's the LeBron
it.
One.
They
yeah,
loved it. They yeah, loved it. Daddy's like, the MJ one's better.
What year was that? Was that 90? What year was that, Hoff, Space Jam?
Well,
98?
Can I take a guess? Yeah. Because Larry Johnson was still with the Hornets at that point. So Larry Johnson, that was the trade. I feel like that was 96 when the Knicks got Allen Houston and Childs and LJ.
But remember,
so,
the movie comes out years later.
I hear you. Production, 93 maybe?
I'm going to guess, you're way off. 94,
I'm way off.
I'm going to guess, I'm going to guess 97. I would say 97 or 98.
But release date. Official release date, November 15th, 1996.
Ooh!
So it came out when he became a Knick. Because he was with the Hornets in that movie.
Right. No, but that's what I'm saying. They probably filmed it 2 years ago, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, 2 years prior.
So I guess we're both wrong.
Yeah, well, I mean.
What else is new at certain
96 is closer to 97, but who's counting? Yeah. All right, anyway, BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. John is in Valley Stream. What's up, Johnny?
What's up, boys? How's it going?
Good.
Hey, John.
You know, Sal, before you're saying like, you know, you want to see the Knicks be dominant, you're not seeing them be dominant, maybe you're just looking in the wrong spots. How does a team outscore a team 32-11 and not dominate them? How do they go on a 20-2 run or whatever it is and not dominate them? You know, everybody's talking about, the Celtics, they're not going to miss all these shots again. It's an aberration. Well, they did it again in the second game. But nobody gives the Knicks credit for it. And why not?
Everybody's giving them credit.
For me, it's a very simple thing. It's more, the Celtics can miss him, but it's not going to happen the whole time. It's not going to happen again.
That was definitely more of the sentiment after game one. I think it's been less of the sentiment after game two.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say it's less, but not really. But my thing is people missing the main reason for it. It's not just happening because it's happening. It's happening for a reason. It's happening because the Knicks are dragging them down to their level. What's the first thing to go on a guy's shot? His accuracy when he's tired. The Knicks are out-physicaling them everywhere on the court.
John, nobody said the Knicks haven't dominated spurts, but the Knicks haven't dominated games. Every game with the Pistons was close. They were fortunate in game one to go on that huge run with Campaign, of all people, lighting it up. And the Knicks were getting dominated for three quarters twice by the Celtics. So that's my point.
Three quarters you're behind. It wasn't three quarters you're getting dominated by.
Yes, it was.
The first quarter and a half. No, it was not. Go look at the game. The first quarter and a half.
Well, they were down 16. They were down.
It was a close game.
They took
the lead close to halftime and then into the third quarter. That's not three quarters. This is what I mean. It's like this perception is wrong.
Well, they fell behind early. Maybe it's not quite three. I'm kind of with you on that. But they fell 16-4, I want to say, right away, right out of the chute. Remember, OG hit the three, which we thought was a three, and then they eventually reviewed it, and it was clearly not a three, and it was a two. And then they didn't score again. I think they missed the next 11 shots. So, yeah, there was early domination, but the Knicks were just atrocious. Honestly, the Knicks' start was like the Celtics' finish.
Look,
in terms of efficiency,
the reason why I say three quarters, I'm not saying dominate every possession for three quarters, obviously, but if you're down 20 or 16 at the end of three or in the third quarter, that's what I'm talking about. You want to get technical about it? Fine. Okay. The Knicks haven't been up on the Celtics by 10 or 17 or 20. They've been down to a point in game one where I wanted to shut the game off. I almost did shut the game off. Luckily, I did not. I came back and I'm like, what the hell's going on here? I was in the middle of doing something. I came back then and went and rewound it to see how they were getting back in the game and then stuck with it. Game two, same thing. It felt like, all right, well, I expected this to happen, the Celtics to bounce back in a big way, and it was happening. Fourth quarter, down 16 points. So that to me is getting dominated. Maybe not every aspect of the game in every single quarter, but at that point, you shouldn't be down 20 or 16. And expect to continue to win those games. They've done it twice, which is nice for them, but it's not sustainable to me.
I agree, it's not sustainable. Let me ask you this. Are our expectations, do we need to modify them? Because whether it's dominance or just a better performance from the tip to the end of the game, I mean, like, the NBA really has changed. Like, there aren't just wild fluctuations in this series, Sal. There's wild fluctuations in every series. The Cavaliers should have won game two. They were crushing them. They lost. It's been happening a lot.
Fair enough. But don't you think the Knicks should have shown some kind of dominance over Detroit in one game?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's so, the series I do.
Well, that, to me too, that would have been, even if they're just a statement by winning the game five.
Yeah, yeah. Give me one game, 117-91, you know, young team, just punk them.
Even if they didn't win by 20, can you be in control of the game from start to finish?
Mm-hmm.
Play it between, okay, you have a 7-point lead, 13-point lead, 7-point lead, 8-point, like, they couldn't even do that from start to finish against Detroit. I don't expect them to dominate the Celtics, but I also would not like to see them fall down 20 or 16 at any point. Why not play then a clean game or more
I get
consistent
you on that.
Game from start to finish?
That's different than what, yeah, I hear you. I don't think that that's wrong.
Ophir is calling from Kings Park. What's up, Ophir?
What's up? I was going to talk a little bit about how being, you know, at the beginning of the series, going into the series, the Knicks were huge underdogs, and now being up 2-0, I think kind of what they've done is I think it's conceivable and reasonable to think, like, oh, it's possible that the Celtics could win four of the next five and win the series. I think the Knicks, what they've done is sort of made it kind of like a toss-up at this point, right? But in regards to what you're saying from the dominance standpoint, I think that's where the game has changed, right? The three-point shot has caused there to be big fluctuations where the Knicks might be down 20. Or, like you said, you didn't see them, you know, from start to finish dominate the Pistons. And I think the three-point shot does that in either way, where the Knicks could be down 20 and all of a sudden make a comeback. I think the coolest part about this series in general is that we're in the Celtics' head, right? How do we know that? Is because they like to take a lot of three-pointers, and now they're sort of questioning it where you see them start to say, well, maybe we're going to take the ball to the basket more. And all of a sudden you get to the point where Tatum at the end of the game is trying to do that, and he comes out with nothing.
Yeah,
right?
But,
I think that's the best part of the series.
Hold on one second. Interesting. I'm not fully with you. I don't know that it's like the Knicks are in their heads pertaining to the three-point shooting. Now, maybe flushing away multiple 20-plus point leads, that'll get in the Celtics' head. But I think when the Celtics pass up threes, I think that they're just kind of reacting to what the Knicks are doing. Defensively, I don't think it's like a conscious effort like, oh, my God, we took 60 threes in game one and we only hit whatever. I forget the exact number. It was awful. We got to get more attempts. We got to get more twos and threes. No, I don't think they're going to really deviate too far from who they are. So I think that, and we've seen evidence where they had a chance to take a three and they passed it up. I know there's one sequence early in game two where Tatum had a corner three by the bench, his bench, and he passed it up, and instead he went right to the rim. This was early when the Knicks were getting smoked, and he just a half dunk or a soft dunk lane, whatever it was. And I just think that was a reaction to what the Knicks were doing, not like, ah, man, we didn't shoot it well game one. We got to change who we are. They're not going to do that.
They shouldn't change who they
are. I agree.
I don't love the philosophy, but it won them a championship a year ago, and I understand the philosophy, the mathematics and analytics behind it. Understand all that, but it's not what I would necessarily do. But back to the point about domination and this and that with the Knicks. Dude, I just saw a stat. The Knicks have played six consecutive playoff games decided by 3 points or fewer. That is tied for the longest streak in NBA playoff history.
Wow.
With the 1981 Celtics.
Wow.
And then I'm just going through some of the scores here from around the NBA. Now, of course, some games are close. There's also a ton of lopsided games, whether it be the first round or the second round. And the Knicks just don't participate in any of those. Now, I guess it's good on one aspect of it that they're not getting blown out. But the other part of it is if you want to be a champion, don't you think at some point, maybe more specifically in the first round, but even now, like you want to show a performance where can you beat a team by 7 or 8 points?
I want to say yes, just because, again, the more you flirt with fire, you're going to get burned. But you know, we always reference the 90s Knicks. Like, if they would have beaten the Rockets in Game 7, they would have been champions. That team wasn't blowing people out.
That was a totally different game.
Yeah. I mean, I remember one game, you mentioned Market Square Arena before, the Knicks scored like 59 or 60 points in the whole game, dude. So, I hear you. I think it would make our heart rate, our bodies would appreciate a game where they just kind of smoke them from start to finish. But it might not be in the cards, and it might not be part of who they are.
One-word answer. More likely the Knicks win by a margin or lose by a margin in Game 3?
I'm going to actually say oddly win.
Yeah, I would go the other way on that. Now, again, we hope that it doesn't come down to that. But if anybody's going to get blown out, to me, based on what I've seen, it would be the Knicks.